You are listening to a message from All People's Church in Brampton, Ontario, Canada.
It's about the cross, Christ.
I've never found another one that took my place.
Don't manage with fear. Realize it's a threat.
At All People's Church, we're all about loving God, strengthening families, and developing leaders. If you would like to hear more sermons or want more information on All People's Church, visit our website at allpeopleschurch.ca or send us an email to info@allpeopleschurch.ca.
This morning, I want to talk to you, even as I'm talking about coming to church Sunday after Sunday, I want to talk to you this morning about joy. Pastor spoke about joy just about 2 weeks ago. But I want to talk about this idea of how do you experience something people are throwing at you, people are preaching at you, but you don't feel it on the inside, right? How do you come to Sunday or come to church Sunday after Sunday? You hear this idea of the abundant life. You hear this idea of joy in God. You know, what were we preaching a few weeks ago? The joy of the Lord is our. But what if you don't feel that joy? And so that's something I want to address this morning. There's a, when I was in Bible college, there was a one of my professors, God bless her, but she was someone who's always and constantly smiling. You know any people like that? They're just constantly and always smiling. They're just like, you think they're the closest person to God because they're just smiling in every circumstance. They're smiling in any situation. And you know, you see it from far away and you're like, man, that is some cool stuff because I can't smile in every situation. I can't laugh all the time. And you see this person, you're like, wow, what an amazing ability they have to always be happy until you're not happy. And you're miserable, and you come face to face with this person, and this person's all smiles, and you know, it'll be all right, and you just gotta have joy. Yeah, but what if I don't feel that joy? I wanna read to us out of Acts chapter 16. We're gonna start at verse 16. I'm gonna invite you to stand in honor of God's word this morning. Acts 16, verse 16. If you're there, say, I'm there.
I'm there.
Good stuff. This is what the Bible says. As we were going to the place of prayer, we were met by a slave girl who had the spirit of divination, and she brought her owners much gain by fortune telling. She followed Paul and us, crying, "These men are servants of the Most High God who proclaim to you the way of salvation." And she kept doing this for many days. Paul, having become greatly annoyed. It's annoying when you're miserable and you come face to face with people who just are always happy. You know what I'm talking about this morning? And so Paul, this gives me encouragement, by the way, because Paul's a New Testament writer. He knows the Lord. You know what I mean? This is the one that said, you know, to die is gain, but to live is Christ. And he was passionately pursuing Christ and people annoyed him. This gives me comfort because the truth is a lot of people annoy me. And maybe a lot of people annoy you too. And so you can have comfort because Paul was annoyed. Now we don't need to go casting spirits out. This is what Paul says. He says, having become greatly annoyed, he turned to her and said to the spirit, I command you in the name of Jesus to come out of her. And it came out that very hour. But when her owner saw this, that their hope of gain was gone, they seized Paul and Silas and dragged them into the marketplace before the rulers. And when they had brought them to the magistrates, they said, these men are Jews. They are disturbing our city. They're advocating customs that are not lawful for us as Romans to accept or practice. The crowd joined in attacking them, and the magistrates tore their garments off and gave orders to beat them with rods. And when they had inflicted many blows upon them, which tells me they beat them until they were tired, they threw them into prison, ordering the jailer to keep them safely. Having received this order, he put them into the inner prison and fastened their feet in the stocks. About midnight, Paul and Silas were praying and singing hymns to God, and the prisoners were listening to them. There's always people listening to you, church. And suddenly there was a great earthquake. Suddenly. Suddenly there was a great, come on, somebody say suddenly. Suddenly there was a great earthquake. See, it doesn't matter where you are or what you're going through. As long as you can fix your perspective to praise the Almighty, you will find that suddenly a shift will happen. And so suddenly there came an earthquake so that the foundations of the prison were shaken. Immediately all the doors were open and everyone's bonds were unfastened. This morning, the title of my message is Experiencing Jubilee from a Jail Cell. Let's pray. Father, I thank you that we get to come here into your house. We thank you for that privilege. We thank you, God, that your work and your spirit and your word, Father, will be in full effect this morning. God, you will change us. You will transform us for your glory. This house will be a house of joy. This house will be a house of worship. This house will be a house of praise, Father. And we declare that in the name of Jesus. Holy Spirit, may you have access to our hearts and our minds this morning. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. You may be seated. Praise God. Praise God. See, what I found so interesting about my professor was that I always thought this person was a joyful person. This person had the most joy. This person was experiencing jubilee because they had the ability to smile and laugh. Until one day she lost her patience and she snapped on a student. And at that moment, I thought to myself, oh, this person didn't really have joy just because she was smiling. This person didn't have freedom just because she was laughing all the time. There was actually things in her heart that she kept suppressed, but they came out. So the first thing you need to know this morning is that your joy is not measured by your ability to smile or laugh. Your joy is measured by your ability to bless God and worship him in the midst of adversity and trial. In the midst of adversity and trial. See, Paul and Silas did not stop experiencing jubilee, even though they were going through a jail cell experience. And I don't know what you're going through this morning, but I'm here to tell you that jubilee is not found in a place. Jubilee is not found in a place. It's not found in a season. It's not found in a particular time. It's actually found in a person, and that person is Jesus Christ. And apart from Jesus Christ, you will not and cannot experience true jubilee, because jubilee is found in him. See, in the Old Testament, jubilee was a year. In the New Testament, jubilee is a person, and that person is Jesus Christ. And what does Jesus say? You shall know the truth, and the truth shall set you free. Who's the truth? Jesus said, I'm the way, the truth, and the life. And so to know Jesus is to know jubilee. Here's a comforting thought. Regardless of where you are and where you find yourself, because Jesus is in you, you can take jubilee and joy wherever you go.
That's right.
Is that good news?
That's right.
You can take jubilee wherever you go. I want to read out of 1 Peter chapter 5 this morning. I'm going to start at verse 6. He says, humble yourselves, therefore, under the mighty hand of God, so that at the proper time he may exalt you. Here's what you got to know, church. You may be going through a jail cell experience, but at the proper time, God will exalt you. Notice that they were thrown into jail, but they didn't start worshiping God until midnight. And it wasn't until they started worshiping God that they experienced freedom. And so there is a time where God has appointed to exalt you out of the worries and burdens you feel. Watch this. He says, casting your anxieties on him. Why? Because he cares. Oh, come on. That's got to be good news somewhere. Because he
cares.
Because he
cares for you.
Oh, you can do better than that. Because he
cares for you.
Tell your neighbor he cares for you.
He cares
for you. He cares for you. I want to ask you a question, and I want to propose this. Could it be that so many people do not cast their anxieties on God is because they don't know he cares for them? they haven't encountered his life-changing and transforming love. It's one thing to go to a person just to vent. Amen. You just got to get something off your chest. It's another thing to go to a person when you know they care for you, they're for you, they're not against you, they love you with an unconditioning love, and go to them and cast your anxieties onto them. But you cannot do that until you encounter his love. Until you know. You see, it's so much easier for me to go to Pastor Tony and say, Pastor Tony, this is what I'm feeling because I know he loves me. Amen? If you are married and your you have doubt in your heart of your spouse's love for you, you're not going to do a very good job at going to them and casting your anxieties on them. Amen? If you have children this morning, your children aren't going to come to you and tell you everything that's going on in their life if they don't feel a love you have for them. And so I propose this morning that many of us do not cast our anxieties onto God, because we don't know he cares for us. But could it also be that we are so concerned with other people caring for us that we just rather not turn to God? Oh, it got quiet, didn't it? Sometimes we get to a place where we're so concerned about how somebody else feels for us, about how somebody else loves us, that we just continue to go to these people, regardless of the fact that they love us or not. We just want to feel that connection. We just want to be able to say, oh, someone cares for me. Someone is there to listen to me. But church, with that, there comes a huge problem. And the problem is the person you keep going to is also broken. Okay, and so the person you keep casting your anxieties on before long starts adding to your list of anxieties. Oh, come on. I know you've experienced that before. The person you keep casting your anxieties on starts adding to the list of your anxieties because they are not your solution. And this is why so many people go and leave church because their church hurt, because they think the pastor is going to cure them. We can't help you. We can't fix you. God can. And only God can. And so you will not recognize, or until you recognize his love for you, you won't go to him with your problems. Until you recognize his love, you'll continue to turn to things, to turn to people that give you momentary satisfaction, but that can't give you an eternal joy. Joy that is everlasting. And here's the truth about that. Because you have to encounter the love of God, it means you have to have a new heart. You have to have been given a new heart, because it's the regenerated heart that understands God cares for me. It's the new heart that says God is for me and not against me. It's the new heart that says if God is for me, then who can be against me? It's the new heart that says, one thing I know, God is on my side. It's the new heart. And until you encounter his love, you can't say that. Until you encounter his love, you can't say like Paul did, rejoice in the Lord always. And again I say, rejoice in the Lord always. And again I say, rejoice, rejoice, rejoice. Come on, how many of you know that song? Rejoice, rejoice, and again I say rejoice. Rejoice in the Lord always, and again I say rejoice, rejoice. Here's a question. How do you rejoice in the Lord if you don't know anything about him? How do you rejoice in the Lord if you don't know anything about him? If you don't know the things that ought to cause joy to rise up within you, how can you rejoice in the Lord? See, it's hard to rejoice. It's hard to take joy, to delight in someone you don't know very well. You don't know very well. But here's the thing. To know Christ is the work of the Holy Spirit. Remember, Pastor talked about this? He says, the world has happiness, but Christians have joy because the Holy Spirit produces joy. And so you need the Holy Spirit to do this. What did Jesus say in John 16? He says, the Holy Spirit is going to be sent to glorify me, to glorify Jesus, which means in order to experience joy, I have to come to a place of recognizing the worth and value of Jesus. Okay? And that's what the Holy Spirit does. The Holy Spirit brings me to a place where I recognize the worth, the value of who Jesus is. I recognize the supreme value of knowing him and being known by him. And then I can come to that place where this joy can rise up within me, and I can say by the help of the Holy Spirit, which I cannot do on my own, and that is to rejoice in the Lord always. To rejoice in the Lord always. You got to know the Lord. You got to know him. Isn't that why the psalmist says, in his presence there is fullness of joy. In his presence there is fullness of joy. The problem is you're trying to receive joy outside of his presence, and it's just not working. It's just not working. You're getting happiness, but you're not getting the fullness of joy. Because you were trying to get something outside of him. See, what we need to do, church, is position ourselves, okay? Position ourselves so the Holy Spirit can produce the fruit of joy. Here's what you need to understand about joy. It's a fruit. And because it's a fruit, there needs to be a root. You're not just going to get joy because you come here. You're not going to get joy because you sing a few songs. You're not going to get joy because we read the Bible. You're not going to get joy because you hear me preaching. You're going to get joy once you position yourselves in a place of recognizing the absolute worth of who Jesus is, come into his presence so the Holy Spirit can produce something we call the fullness of joy. And until you position yourself, don't expect the Holy Spirit to produce something. You need to position yourselves. Another way of positioning yourselves is to worship. What did Paul and Silas do? In the jail cell at midnight, they began to worship. They began to sing songs to God. If you're taking notes, you want to write this down. Worship in the midst of worry to create. I got to read this again. This is so good. To create warfare out of worship. Worship in the midst of worry to turn worship into warfare. You can worship, but that doesn't mean you're in warfare. If you get the ability, like Paul and Silas, to say, though I'm going through a jail cell experience, though everything is going against me, notice that they were headed to go pray, yet they ended up in prison. We're talking about Jubilee. You might be going through a jail cell experience. But it isn't until you come to a place where naturally you should worry and you decide to worship instead. And then in that place, your worship will turn into warfare, and watch the cells open loose. Watch the chains fall off. Watch everything just break off of you because you have decided to experience Jubilee, even though you may be going through a jail cell. Come on, am I preaching this morning?
Come on, come on.
You say, how do you do that? How do you worship in the midst of worry? This is it. You got to learn to treasure Jesus more than life. Psalm 63 verse 3 says, your steadfast love is better than life. Better than life. What is he saying? God is more valuable than everything and anything in this life.
That's right,
man. See, Paul and Silas, when they got to the jail cell, they had to get over the comfort of their home. Paul and Silas, when they got into that jail cell, had to get over the comfort of their home. They had to value Jesus more than they valued the comfort of their home, the comfort of their TVs, the comfort of their couch. You say, Pastor Moses, they don't have TVs. Well, I'm sure they had tablets. Because here's the truth, church. You have to value Jesus more than the things you are currently finding comfort in, or you will not be able to worship.
That's right.
In the midst of worry. You got to value him more than everything, more than those things. And until we value God above those things, watch this. Oh, this is good. This is good. See, I'm preaching to myself right now too, because this is so true. If God is not valued above those things, then the worry of losing them will rob you of your ability to worship. You're worried about losing things. You're losing your ability to worship God. Oh, this is good stuff. Because the more you worry about losing things, the comfort of your home, your boyfriend, your girlfriend, your money, your finances, your riches, the moment you begin to let those things value more than who Jesus is, you won't be able to worship who Jesus is. Isn't it the rich young ruler to whom Jesus said, go and sell everything you have, and then you're going to have a place with me in heaven. And he walked away sad. He walked away completely losing his ability to worship God, to worship Jesus, to recognize him as Lord and Savior. So church, what are you so worried about that is causing you to lose your ability to worship God? So worried about being alone. You won't get out of that toxic relationship. And that relationship is destroying your ability to worship God. You're so worried about your identity. You keep pretending to be something, someone you're not, just so you don't lose your reputation, but you're losing your ability to worship God. What are you worried about losing? That's what Paul says in Philippians 3, 7 to 8. He says, whatever gain I had, I counted as loss for the sake of Christ. Indeed, I count everything as loss because of the surpassing worth of knowing who Jesus is, my Lord. For his sake, I've suffered the loss of all things and count them as rubbish in order that I may gain Christ. What is he saying? I can't lose because I already consider those things not attached to me. I'm not worried about losing something I already consider loss. Come on. And so my allegiance is to Christ. Yeah, come on, give God some praise. You know what I love about that last sentence? He says, I count them as rubbish in order that I may gain Christ. You know what the King James translation says? It says, I count them as dung, cow manure, crap. Can I be honest? He's saying the riches of the world, I count them as loss. I compare those to what comes out the backside of a cow. Amen. So that I may gain Christ. I'm not interested in losing anything because it's already lost. Oh, I need a Kleenex, Pastor Tony. I'm preaching my heart out over here. Give me the whole box. Come on. Y'all getting anything tonight, today, this morning? Because I'm getting a workout, so I hope you're getting something out. Praise God. You guys know the verse in James chapter 1 where it talks about your trials and your tribulations, and he says, count it all joy. Count it all joy. It's one of my favorite passages. I'm going to give you a secret. You're going to get some secret sauce this morning, all right? Some secret sauce. James 1 verse 2 says, count it all joy, my brothers and sisters, when you meet trials of various kinds. For you know, don't you love when the people who wrote the Bible just assume you know something? It's like, you know this, don't you? You know this. Come on, tell your neighbor, you know this. You know that the testing of your faith produces steadfastness. And so as you're going through a jail cell experience, what's James telling you? Count it all joy because steadfastness is being produced. What's steadfastness? I wrote a definition not too long ago, and I want to read it for you. Steadfastness is holding firm to God even in the midst of hardship and doubt. It's standing firm in God's truth even though troubles of life may shake things up. It's not being swerved from your God-given destination while being tempted to go off course. It's having gospel hope though there's bad news all around you. It's being loyal to Christ even though you aren't being blessed. It's Christ-like consistency and Christ-like endurance in saying, nevertheless, not my will, but yours be done. It's asking the question, God, how can you be glorified by what I'm going through while being motivated to see that he is? That's steadfastness. And I don't know about you, but I want that produced in my life. But I had to read it again because that word tripped me up. You know, don't you? You know this, don't you? So he says, count it all joy. But many of us look at that verse and we say, count it all joy because it's producing steadfastness. Not true. He says, count it all joy, knowing that the testing of your faith produces steadfastness. Here's some secret sauce. Come on, ask your neighbor if you're ready. You ready? Just because you have trials doesn't mean you have steadfastness. You have to allow your faith to be tested. Oh, I'm like, James, you clever man. You know this, don't you? Come on. You know that the testing of your faith. It's like, I didn't know that because I thought whatever I'm going through has to have a purpose behind it. And though it may, does not mean steadfastness will be produced. I have to let my faith be tested. Problem is, you're not letting your faith be tested. And so you get demotivated because you don't see steadfastness being produced, and so therefore you cannot count it all joy.
That's right.
You say, how do I allow my faith to be tested? You use it. Oh, you use it. You have to use your faith in order to let it be tested. If I am going through a trial, and I have no faith that I'm going to make it out. If I am going through a jail cell experience and I have no faith that will stir up worship within me. If I am going through an experience and I have no faith that God will get glory out of this and I will receive good because God is good and he says that he is going to work out all things for the good of those who love him and called and are called to his purpose. If I don't have the faith to believe those things, then my faith is not being tested, and therefore steadfastness is not being produced, and therefore I can't count it all joy. I can't count it all joy. But if I use my faith will be tested. And then verse 4 says, and then steadfastness, when you've done this, steadfastness will be full, you'll have, steadfastness will have its full effect, that you may be perfect, complete, lacking in nothing, not lacking in joy.
Well, we hope you enjoyed this message. If you'd like to hear more messages or want more information on All People's Church, visit our website at allpeopleschurch.ca or send us an email at info@allpeopleschurch.ca.